What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode. I appreciate you guys for tuning in wherever you may be, taking time out your day to listen to what your girl got to say. And I know it's been a while. It's probably been like a month or two. But I'm back. And in this episode, we're going to talk about letting go. You know, letting go of opportunities, maybe a job. But really, I want to focus on letting go of people in your life. Because if you don't let those people go, you can forfeit a blessing or an opportunity or whatever, you know, Yah has for you. You can forfeit that by not letting that person go. So I've been thinking about this for a while, actually. And last night, I was in my bed. It was probably like early this morning. And I was watching something on YouTube. And it was like an animated series. And basically, the episode was about a woman who, you know, she was a doctor. And then like a patient came in. And the lady, the patient, she was being abused by her boyfriend. And, you know, she couldn't go back to where she came from. So long story short, the woman brought the lady into her home. And then as soon as she brought the lady into her home, a whole bunch of stuff started happening. Her life was kind of like in disarray and she was trying to let the woman go, but the lady wouldn't leave. But, you know, anywho, I was watching that whole episode and it just reminded me of how Yah has been dealing with me with letting people go. And the thing is that, well, I can't speak for everybody. I can only speak for myself. It is hard for me to let people go, especially if that person Yah is telling me to let go isn't doing anything to me. Like they're not being mean to me. They're not disrespecting me. You know, I would consider them like a good friend, but Yah is telling me to let them go. And that's hard for me. Personally, like it's easy to let people go who ain't doing right by you. It's like, okay, well, shoot, I'll let you go. But what about those people that Yah tells you to let go that you don't want to let go? And when we read throughout the Bible, there have been many instances where Yah told, you know, maybe like a prophet or even somebody who was an unbeliever, he told them to let somebody go or to let people go. And that person didn't do it and their life became chaotic due to their disobedience. So I wanted to examine that in this episode. It made me think of Jonah and Pharaoh and also made me think of Samuel. So, you know, we're just going to explore what happened to these folks when they were in disobedience to Yah. So the first person I want to bring up is Pharaoh. And I bring up Pharaoh because Pharaoh was an unbeliever. Like Pharaoh thought that he was God. So I want to bring him up. So y'all know, you know, the story of Moses and how Yah told Moses to go back to Egypt and to tell Pharaoh to let the Hebrews go. Right? Y'all remember that? You know, go back in Exodus and read it for yourself. But Yah told Moses to go back to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let the Hebrews go. So that's exactly what Moses did. So when Moses arrived on the scene and he said, hey, Pharaoh, you know, Yah wants you to let the Hebrews go. Pharaoh was like, no, I'm not letting them go. So what happened when Pharaoh refused to let them go, to let the people go? Plagues came upon his empire. And even in Exodus, when you read Exodus, Exodus 7:3 reads, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. Now, I want us to stop right here. Because we just read how Yah said that he will harden Pharaoh's heart. And this is, I need y'all to catch this because it'll make sense, you know, later on in this episode. Yahuwah was the one that hardened Pharaoh's heart. So even if Pharaoh was like, you know what, I want to let these people go, he was unable to do so. So Pharaoh refused to let the Hebrews go. And because of that, Yah showed his wonders and his power over Pharaoh, which was the plagues. And then after the plagues, y'all remember it was when the firstborn died. That was like the last plague. That was the 10th plague. When the firstborn died, that's when Pharaoh decided to let the Hebrews go. So just in case, you know, anybody confused, Yah told Moses to tell Pharaoh to let the Hebrews go. Pharaoh disobeyed Yah. Mind you, Yah hardened Pharaoh's heart so he could, so Pharaoh refused to do so. And you might be confused, but I promise later on in this episode is going to come together. I promise you. So Yah hardened Pharaoh's heart and Pharaoh refused to let the Hebrews go. And because he refused, what happened? Plagues came upon Pharaoh. Life started lifing even more because he refused to let the Hebrews go. So that's just one example. I also think about Samuel. Why do I want to call this man Samuel? We're going to call him Samuel today. So I think about Samuel. Y'all remember King Saul, but Samuel was the prophet that Yah was speaking to warn Saul. So let's go into the book of Samuel. Okay. So 1 Samuel 15 reads, Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them." I want y'all to think about that. "But kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." So Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Kenites, "Go, depart, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Now, I want y'all to catch this. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. So I want y'all to think about this. Yahuwah told Samuel to tell Saul to destroy all of the Amalekites. Like, don't leave anybody behind. Everybody gotta go. But what did Saul do? Saul spared some. And when you continue reading, because he did this, he forfeited being king because he was in disobedience. Yahuwah had told Samuel to tell Saul to destroy everybody. But what did Saul do? He spared King Agag. He was in disobedience to what Yah said. Yah said, get rid of everybody. And Saul was like, okay, I hear you, but I'm gonna do what I want to do, which is to spare some. Saul was in disobedience. And because of his disobedience, he forfeited his rightful place as king. He forfeited being king because of his disobedience to Yah. That's how serious it was. And the thing is when we are in disobedience, we are in rebellion. And in 1 Samuel 15, verse 23, it reads, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king." So I want us to think about that. Yah tells us to do something. Basically, what Saul did is he was halfway obedient, which means that he was still in disobedience. Because how are you going to be halfway obedient? Make it make sense. Yah told him to destroy everything, and he spared some. He still destroyed, but he spared. So he was halfway obedient. And because of that, he forfeited being king. How many times has Yah told us to do something and we do it halfway? The perfect example I can think of is when Yah says to let somebody go, like a relationship. Let's say like you in a relationship, you got a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and Yah says to let them go. So you let them go, as in you break up with them, but y'all still talking. Y'all just don't have the title. For the fellas, she not your girlfriend anymore, but y'all still talking though. That's for the ladies. That's not your boyfriend no more, but y'all still talk. Y'all told you to let that man go. Y'all told you to let that woman go. So all you did was you just took the title off of it. Come on now. You have no idea what your disobedience is making you forfeit. And in this case, it was Saul. Saul thought he was being slick. He thought he was being slick, but clearly that cost him. So another example I want to use is Jonah. And actually, the story of Jonah is my favorite example to use because it illustrates vividly how not letting someone go can cause chaos in your life. And I want to go through the story of Jonah from a different perspective. Because every time, well, I know from my personal experience, when the story of Jonah is brought up, is from Jonah's perspective. People say, oh, Jonah, he was scared to do what Yah had called him to do, or, you know, he was being selfish, or whatever the case may be. And we often go through the story of Jonah not thinking about the mariners' point of view. Because remember when Jonah got on the boat, there were mariners who were affected by Jonah being on the boat. So follow me. We're going to go through the book of Jonah. I might read the whole chapter, actually. I don't know. It's only 4 chapters. It ain't that long. So I might go through the whole story. But I just want y'all to just think about how refusal to let somebody go actually affects you and how it negatively impacts you. So let's go through the book of Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." So, you know, just going to pause here. Jonah was given a word from Yah to go to Nineveh and to warn the people of Nineveh to cry out against it, basically telling the people of Nineveh to repent. This was a command from Yah for Jonah to fulfill. So I just want us to understand that. Let's continue reading. "But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." So Yah told Jonah, "Hey, go to Nineveh, warn the folk before I judge them." And Jonah was like, "Nah, I'm good on that. I'm not doing that." And Jonah tried to flee from Yah, which is funny within itself, because how you flee from the Most High. Let's start there. But Jonah decided to be in disobedience. Instead of doing what Yah told him to do, which is to warn the people, he did his own thing and he fled to a boat going to Tarshish, right? So hope we on the same page. Let's continue reading. And here's where I want y'all to think about this, especially from the mariner's point of view. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Child. It was Yahuwah himself who sent a great wind. It was Yah himself who sent a storm because of who? Jonah fleeing. Because Jonah was in disobedience, Yah sent a great wind upon the ship. So let's just continue reading. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." Jonah was running in disobedience, got on the ship, and because he was in disobedience, Yah sent a storm upon the ship. But the people who were on the ship were innocent bystanders trying to figure out, what can we do so we can survive this storm? Our ship is about to collapse. Let's lighten the load. Let's get rid of our cargo. Right. So they're losing cargo, trying to lighten up the load so they won't, you know, basically tip over. And what is Jonah doing? At the bottom of the boat, chilling, taking a nap. All of this chaos was because of him. And the thing is that Yahuwah was the one sending the storm. There are people who will come into your life. You living your life, you doing what Yah told you to do. Because you notice these mariners, they were set sail to Tarshish. Like they were just, you know, set sail. But Jonah decided to get on the boat because he was running away from, you know, being obedient. There are people who will come into your life and you live in your life. And as soon as they come into your life starts to get chaotic and you trying to figure out what is going on. Because, you know, before you came along, nothing was going on. I mean, life was life in, but it wasn't life in like this. And the thing that I want us to remember was that it was Yah doing this. It was Yah bringing the storm. Sometimes the things that you go through isn't Satan. Satan ain't nowhere to be found in the story. Satan's probably not even concerned about Jonah. And this is why I liked the book of Jonah and I wanted to use it as an example. Jonah was a prophet. Jonah believed in the Most High. So it wasn't like Jonah was some random person who didn't believe. He was an unbeliever. Mm-mm. He believed in Yah. And Yah told him to do something. And Jonah didn't want to do it. So he tried to run away from being obedient. And because he was walking in disobedience, he affected other people who had nothing to do with what he had going on in his life. So these people are on the boat. And the storm is, you know, about to tear their boat up. So they're lightening the load. They're getting rid of their own cargo, trying to, you know, prevent them from capsizing. And what is Jonah doing? Taking a nap at the bottom of the boat. The audacity. Let's continue reading. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." Okay, I think I read that part. Okay. And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. By the way, just to add this little note, casting lots means to guess, pretty much. This is what people did who weren't followers of Yahuwah. They were pretty much guessing. You don't need to guess when you're following Yahuwah. You could just ask him directly. But I just wanted to add that. This is casting lots was something that pagan nations did to figure out what their God was trying to tell them. But for us, we don't need to figure out what our God is. Like, we don't need to guess what he's trying to tell us. We can just go to him direct, if that makes sense. So I just want to add that. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" So he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." So just for some context, these mariners were pagans. They were considered unbelievers. They didn't believe in Yahuwah. But as we continue reading, they're going to believe at the end of the story. But, you know, right now where we are in the story, they didn't believe in Yah. They had their own gods. They was calling on their God to, you know, try to calm the storm. Because each nation had, you know, their own God. So they probably had a God who was over water, and that's who they were praying to. But when Jonah said, "Oh, yeah, I'm Hebrew. And by the way, I serve the God who's the God over water and dry land." So he told them folks straight up who he was. And then guess what happened to the men? They became exceedingly fearful of him. So let's continue reading. "Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, 'Why have you done this?' For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them." Jonah told them straight up, "The reason why y'all going through this storm is because of me." "The reason why your life is in disarray is because of me. And I know this because I'm fleeing from what God is calling me to do." So guess what the mariners do? They ask Jonah, what is the solution to the problem? So Jonah told them. "Then they said to him, 'What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?' For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, 'Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me.'" Listen, y'all. "Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them." So I want us to pause right here. The mariners had asked Jonah, "Hey, what's going on?" Jonah told them straight up, "The reason why this storm has come upon y'all is because of me, because I'm fleeing the presence of the Lord. God want me to do something and I ain't trying to do it. So this is why this storm has come upon you." So they say, "Okay, well, what's the solution?" Jonah told them what to do. "A, throw me over the boat." Like, yeah, throw me in the sea and the storm will calm down. But what did the mariners do? They didn't let Jonah go. They didn't do that. They tried to continue rowing the boat, but realized that they couldn't because the sea continued to grow more tempestuous. The storm got worse. Jonah told them to throw him over the boat and they didn't listen. And the storm got worse. Jonah was the problem that they refused to get rid of. There are people in your life. And see, another reason why I like the story of Jonah was because when we talk about letting people go, we automatically assume that that person is evil. Like, you know, Yah tells you to let somebody go and you're like, "Oh, they probably plotting against me. They probably talking about me. They trying to, you know, make me miss out on my blessing and stuff. So I'm gonna let them go." No, sometimes Yah is telling you to let somebody go because they're running away from him and they're trying to, I guess, use you as a cover in a way. How many people have come into your life and then they kind of just stayed longer than they were supposed to stay? Come on now. Like, one thing that I know about people is sometimes they will, and I don't think it's on purpose necessarily, but Yah will be dealing with them. And instead of them being dealt with and, like, you know, growing their relationship with Yah, they'll attach themselves to you and they'll concern themselves with what you have going on, completely ignoring the growth that they have to do for themselves. They'll pour into you, but then they refuse to pour into themselves, which means that they're not growing in Yah. Does that make sense? I hope I ain't confused nobody. there are a lot of people. I think about relationships. I'm going to use a perfect example to illustrate this. You in a relationship with somebody, right? From a woman's perspective, I'll do it from a woman's perspective. You living your life. You got a nice job. You got your place. You doing your thing. And then you meet a man. You was minding your business and a man comes into your life. And what you don't realize is that that man is fleeing somebody, and that somebody is the Most High himself. The Most High told that man, you need to get your act together. You need to become the man I need you to be. And instead of that man stepping up to the plate and becoming the man he needs to be, he refuses and he runs away from Yah. And he finds himself in your presence. He gets on a boat, and you, as the woman, you're on that boat. And then that man finds himself on the same boat as you. Next thing you know, you're entertaining this man and your life starts to life more than it typically does. You don't get certain opportunities, or opportunities present themselves, but then they disappear. You apply for jobs, but then they fall through. You know, maybe your health gets out of whack. Maybe you can't think straight. You used to have ideas, but now you can't even think of ideas. Your life starts to get chaotic and you're trying to figure out, why is my life has just turned upside down, and you can't figure out why that is. And you even start to question, you're like, okay, God, like, you know I ain't perfect, but you know, I'm out here living for you. Why is my life? Why do I feel like I'm being attacked, like spiritually attacked? And usually what happens is people, because they don't recognize what's really going on, they'll tell you, oh, you're close to your breakthrough. That's why these attacks are happening. Baby, the attacks are happening because that man that came into your life. But see, you don't make that connection. Because in your mind, you're like, okay, well, what does this man have to do with anything? Because this man is not even, you know, he's not being rude to me. He's not, you know, I consider him a good friend, or depending if y'all dating or not, I consider him a good person. Why would my life be in disarray because a good person came into my life? It doesn't make any sense. It's because that man is fleeing from Yah. So guess what God does in his infinite mercy? God will come to you and tell you to let that man go. But because you can't figure out why you should let him go, because it doesn't make sense to you why you should let him go, or why God is telling you to let him go, guess what you do? You don't let him go, and you try to continue living your life, but it gets even more chaotic. That's exactly what the mariners did. They ignored Jonah. They didn't let him go. They didn't throw him over the boat like he told them to do. And they tried to continue rowing. And guess what happened? The storm got worse. God told you to let that man go out your life. And you're like, I ain't gonna do that. It ain't that deep. So guess what? That man continues being in your life. And guess what happens to your life? It gets even more chaotic. This happens with men too, all the time. You're with a woman that God been told you to let go. That woman came into your life. And if we really gonna be honest on this episode, she wasn't, you know, the type of woman that you would probably be dealing with anyways. You know, she might be pretty and everything, but you know, when it comes to your standards and what you're looking for in a woman, she got some work to do. We'll just say that. But guess what? She hung around. Yah came to you and told you, hey, my son, you need to let her go. But what do? You keep her around. So guess what happens in your life? Missed opportunities. You can't think straight. You're confused on your purpose now. You're confused on your purpose. And on top of all that, what you don't realize is that because of your disobedience, you may forfeit the woman that God actually has for you. You just don't realize that yet because you refuse to let go. God came to you and told you to let that person go. Because that person, what you don't realize, is fleeing God. And here is what I need us to understand. And this is why it's important to be obedient. Just like God cares about you, God cares about that person as well. Just like God cares about your growth in him, he cares about their growth in him as well. And because you refuse to let them go, you are impeding on God's will for that person's life. You are in the way. You are in the way. It goes back to Pharaoh. It goes back to Pharaoh. Okay. Yeah, this is where is I'm going to tie this all in right now. Remember when we're going back to Pharaoh, where God hardened Pharaoh's heart. So even if Pharaoh wanted to let the Hebrews go, he was unable to because God wanted to show Pharaoh who was God. Sometimes when we refuse to be obedient, God will harden our hearts. So he will make it where we try to let that person go, but for some reason we can't let them go. And then these things will happen in our life. And then when we finally, when God allows us, let them go, we realize, oh, that must have been God. Does that make sense? I don't know. I feel like this is one of them episodes. Like, if you know, you know, because people probably think I'm crazy. Like, oh no, you need to take accountability. But let me tell y'all something. There are people who will come into your life and they're not bad people, but your life will just turn upside down. But as soon as you let them go, it's like the storm clears. I know that firsthand experience, because as soon as they threw Jonah over the boat, the storm cleared, the storm went away. Because first off, the storm was from Yah himself. Come on. I have been in situations where God told me to let people go. And because I didn't understand, it's not about you understanding. That's not your job. It's not even your job to understand why God is telling you to do that. Your job is to be obedient. Your job is to follow orders. Who cares if you understand or don't understand? That it doesn't matter. God told you to do something, so do it. We get in trouble because before we're obedient, we want to understand everything. We want to understand, well, why do I have to do this? Why I have to do that? What does that have to do with anything? So guess what God does? He hardens your heart. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. So again, even if Pharaoh was like, hey, look, I give up. This is the fifth plague. I give up. Pharaoh was unable to do so. Because God was going to make a point. When we have such stubbornness and refusal to do what God has called us to do, God is like, you know what? Okay. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to harden your heart. So guess what happens? That man that comes into your life that God told you to let go, but you refuse to let go. Okay, cool. You refuse to let go. So I'm going to give you what you want, which is that man to still be in your life. So I'm just going to harden your heart. And then guess what's going to happen? Your life is going to become chaotic. So now you're trying to let this man go, but for some reason you can't. And the reason why you can't is because God hardened your heart. So now you're about to go through a season of just chaos in your life. And then at the end of that season, when you're like, you know what? Everything is just in disarray. And you finally let that man go. Then the storm clears and your life gets back on track. And now you know that was God who did that. I don't know if it makes sense. And honestly, at this point, this message is for who is for. But I wanted to bring that up. Saul was halfway obedient. And it goes back to relationships again. God told you to let that person go. God told you to let that woman go. And what did you do? You broke up with her. So she's no longer your girlfriend. You're no longer her boyfriend. But why are y'all still in a situationship? Come on now. Why are you still calling her and being caked up on the phone? Why is she still calling you and y'all talking? Y'all not boyfriend and girlfriend, but yet y'all still in communication with each other. But yet God told you to let her go. You're being halfway obedient and you think you're being slick about it. So because you refuse to be obedient, guess what happens? You forfeit the woman that God actually has for you because you refuse to be obedient. That's exactly what happened to King Saul. He forfeited being king because he wanted to be halfway obedient. That's how serious this is. Now, I don't know about you, but when I got that revelation, a wake up call. When we go back to the book of Jonah. And pretty much I want to stop here in the story. because Jonah had reasons why he was in disobedience. But Jonah told the mariners to throw him overboard. The mariners at first ignored him and tried to continue rowing, and the storm got worse. So when they finally threw Jonah overboard and let him go, the storm cleared. And then guess what the mariners did? They believed in Yah. And I want that to marinate. The mariners were pagans. They didn't believe in Yah. When they were calling on their gods, they were not calling on Yah. They weren't calling on him. They were calling on whoever they was calling on, but it wasn't Yahuwah. By the time they got rid of Jonah and the storm cleared, they finally became believers in Yahuwah. Jonah told them straight up, the God that I serve is after me, and the God that I serve is the reason why this storm is happening to y'all. So the solution is to throw me overboard. They ignored him. The storm got worse. Then they threw him overboard and the storm cleared up. They became believers in Yahuwah. And this goes back to us dealing with people in relationships. Sometimes you have to go through that in order to truly become a believer, to truly be like, okay, God, that was you who told me to let this person go. Clearly, because as soon as I let them go, the storm in my life cleared up. And see, here's the thing. What happened to Jonah afterwards? He was in the belly of a fish, and then the fish spat him out back onto land, and Jonah went back to doing what God had called him to do. So let's go back to our scenario. You're a woman and a man comes into your life. That same man is fleeing, becoming the man that God wants him to be, but he's up underneath you and your life becomes chaotic. God comes along and says, hey, get rid of this man. Let him go. You don't do it because the reality is, see, can we be honest? The reality is we don't want to get rid of people. No, I'm not going to say get rid of. We don't want to let them go because we're actually benefiting from them as well. Can we talk about it? Can we be honest? Can we be honest? Because if you weren't benefiting at all, it wouldn't be a problem. You refuse to let that man go because you're benefiting from him, sis. Let's be for real. Emotionally, some of y'all out here, you know, going against God, you know, physically, right? Not supposed to be doing that. But, you know, you're benefiting from that man being your life. Or he might just be somebody you just talked to. But Yah told you to let him go and you refuse to do so. So your life becomes in disarray. You can forfeit the man that God has for you because you refuse to let that man go that God told you to let go. You can forfeit the woman that God has for you because you refuse to let that woman go, the woman that he been told you to let go. And see what happens with a lot of people, if we're being honest, they refuse to let those people go. Their life becomes chaotic, but then they get used to the chaos going on in their life. They wonder why those opportunities, you know, they have an opportunity, but it falls through. They wonder why they can never get that idea off the ground. God gave them a vision of starting a business and it's 10 years later and they still haven't even done anything with their business. You thought you was going to walk in disobedience and still get blessed? Like, I'm confused. You are holding up somebody else's growth. Sometimes you have to let people go in order for them to grow. Sometimes it is actually a test to see if you will be obedient. You about to compromise the entire mission because of your feelings. God can't trust you. You want what you want when you want it, which is that person in your life. And yeah, I told you to let them go and you refuse to do so. You about to compromise the entire mission. Come on now. This is serious. And I wanted to bring that up because when we walk in disobedience, that's the equivalent to witchcraft. Y'all do know that, right? Walking in disobedience, you have a spirit of rebellion. There are people walking in rebellion. They're walking on a path that Yah never had them on. Now you're operating in witchcraft and don't even know it because you're trying to control the situation. You're trying to control the outcome. That's what witches do. That's what people who practice divination, that's what they do. They try to control the outcome. They try to play God. let them go. There's too many people in the Bible who refused to be obedient to Yahuwah, and they ended up forfeiting the blessing that Yahuwah had for them. Don't go through life thinking that you can live how you want, be in disobedience, and you still get the blessings that Yah has for you. Especially when dealing with people, you know, when you go through something like that and you let that person go, and then you realize that your life gets like the storm clears in your life and you can think straight, you have vision again, you're on purpose again. It hits different because now you associate that person with missed blessings, with delay. Girl, you could have been married, but you still haven't let that person go that God told you to let go. That's why you're not married. Sir, you could have been met the woman that God had for you. But old girl who came into your life, who if you was in your right mind, you probably would have let go if she was, you know, out here doing you dirty and, you know, doing crazy stuff, you probably would have let her go. Ooh, sometimes people come into your life because they're running away from God. And other times, Satan sends that person. Now, in this case, in the story of Jonah, Jonah was just refusing to be obedient to Yah. And then because of his disobedience, it affected other people on his journey. And that happens to us. You know, people come into our life. They're not, you know, bad people, but they're just refusing what God told them to do. And the next thing you know, our life gets affected. And we're like, well, hold on. Like, I was good till you came along. And then sometimes Satan will send people. Satan can't send a woman who's out here, you know, talking to a whole bunch of dudes and acting raunchy and all that. He can't send a woman like that to you because you would refuse her. So what is he going to do? He's going to send a woman who does everything that you want her to do. He's going to send the woman who conforms to what you want her to do. And guess what her job is? To delay the blessings that God has for your life. Because when you are delayed, ooh, what is that scripture? It makes the heart grow sick. What is that scripture? Hold on, y'all. Okay. I found it. Proverbs 13, verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. You have been praying to God for a certain blessing. Fasting, praying, even living for him. And because of that person in your life that you refuse to let go, that promise that you're praying for, that blessing, there is a delay. If you were to be obedient and to let that person go, that promise would come. But because you refuse to be obedient, there is a delay. And here is where this is where a lot of people end up giving up on that promise or on the blessing that they're having faith in God for. Hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. You've been waiting a month, 2, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. And then you get to the point where it's like, okay, well, I give up on the promise. You might even lose your faith. But the problem wasn't that God couldn't give you what you wanted. The problem was you refused to be obedient. That person was sent to delay what God had for you. You wanted your blessing and you wanted to hold on to them as well. Just like King Saul, he was supposed to get rid of everything, but he spared what he wanted to spare. He was halfway obedient. You can't be halfway obedient with God. There are people who are with people that I call them might as well people. That's not funny, but they're called might as well people. These are people who come into your life, and because they've been in your life for so long, you might as well get with them. You might as well marry her. You might as well marry him. even though deep down you know that this wasn't the person that God had for you. Now, this doesn't just have to deal with like, you know, like romantic relationships. I'm talking about like opportunities, you know, there may be like a certain job that you want, a certain opportunity, but you settle because the opportunities that you're looking for is just taking so long to achieve. It's like it's a spirit of delay. It's like, dang, nothing that I do is working. Why is everything that I'm doing falling through? It's because of your social circle. It's because of the person that you refuse to let go. Y'all, this is a spiritual battle. If you think it's not that deep, then this message is not for you. I'm just going to be honest with you. Satan will do anything to delay. He will send people, not even to break your heart, not to talk down on you. He will literally send people in your life to just delay you. That's it. Satan doesn't want you to obtain the blessing from Yah, because once you obtain the blessing from Yah, then you're going to believe in him more. He doesn't want you doing that. He wants you having doubt that Yah can do for you. So he's going to send somebody into your life just to delay. That's it. And when you're dealing with people, you know, I don't know why people think that, oh, what God has for me is for me. Absolutely. But don't think for a second that you can just be in disobedience for 10 years and the person that God has for you is just going to wait 10 years for you to get it right. Come on now. Let's be for real. Like I said before, just like God cares about you, he cares about that other person too. He's not going to have them waiting for 10 years. He wants you with that person because that person will be a best match. But no, you want to do what you want to do. You want to be in disobedience. So God's like, okay, cool. Well, this person that you refuse to let go, well, won't y'all might as well be together then. And this is exactly how you see people settling in relationships. But y'all, this wasn't about, I don't know, marriage and everything. This is about being obedient and letting people go. But yeah, no, this is real. I see it time and time and time again. And it happens time and time and time again. People who came into your life, they should have just been passing by. But because you refuse to let them go, they end up being your life longer than they were intended to. They were supposed to be there for a season. And now they're there for a lifetime. And you wonder why things in your life aren't, you know, working in your favor. You wonder why all your ideas fall through. You can't think straight. You feel like there are certain blessings you should have been had, but you don't have them yet. How about you go back to do what God told you to do, which is to let that person go? So I don't know. I feel like I got my point across. I know this episode was all over the place, but this is serious. This is spiritual warfare, y'all. This is spiritual warfare. If you are carnal minded and you just look on the surface, this message is going to go over your head. I'm sorry. If you think for one second that people in your life aren't the reason why a delay is going on, then you should probably do deeper studying of Yah's word. Because all throughout the Bible, when Yah told people to, you know, let them go or to let somebody go and they refused to do so, their life became chaotic. Pharaoh refused to let the Hebrews go. And guess what? Plagues came upon Pharaoh. Saul refused to be fully obedient. He was halfway obedient. And he forfeited his place as king. Jonah was running away from God and came into the life of the mariners. They was minding their business. And because they refused originally to let Jonah go, the storm got worse for them until they finally let him go. And then the storm cleared up. What I'm saying, and to wrap this episode up, is this. When Yahuwah says to let them go and trust him that he will provide for you even better what you think. Because oftentimes, I think one of the biggest things, you know, that prevents us from letting people go is like, oh, I'm never going to find a person like that again, or that's my only friend, or whatever the case may be. This is a perfect opportunity for you to let that person go, and you should replace that person with Yahuwah himself. You refuse to let her go because the reality is you enjoy the intimacy. That intimacy should be coming from Yahuwah himself. You refuse to let him go because you want a man and you tired of waiting. that man is Yahuwah himself. Let them go. So yeah, y'all, I thank you guys for tuning in. I hope this was something to ponder on. You know, it's hard, but again, we have to, obedience is better than sacrifice. Be obedient to what Yahuwah is calling you to do. And if he is calling you to let somebody go, let them go. Because I promise you, your life will become chaotic if you refuse to do so. But as soon as you walk in obedience and you let them go, the storm will clear. But yeah, y'all, thank you for tuning in, and until next time.